Up tomorrow night, the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council is hosting a community event, Understanding the Yunik. That is at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center starting at 5 p.m. And they'll also be showing a film. There'll be some discussion. And here to tell us more about that is Guy Archibald, who is with SEAC. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you for being here very much. And tell us first a bit about SEAC. What is that organization? What does it do?
Well, SEAC is a nonprofit conservation group that has been operating in and around the Tongass for well over 45 years. We're a regional conservation group, and so we try to keep public lands and public hands and available for communities to use, you know, for hunting, berry picking, fishing, trying to keep our clean water resources clean for the health of salmon and aquatic life. And, you know, the Tongass is as much water as it is land, and we're just trying to keep that water clean.
And what is the situation in the Yunik that you are trying to bring people's attention to?
Well, the primary issue with the Yunik is the proposed Kerr Sulphurets Mitchell mine, about 14 miles over the border in British Columbia. This mine is in an exploration phase right now, but if it were ever to go into development, it would be, you know, in one of the top largest mines in the world. It's all acid generating rock. There's plans to dump, you know, millions of tons of acid generating rock in valleys leading directly to the Yunik River. And we know that Canada does not have the best enforcement and compliance record.
And is this opposition to all mining or this particular project?
No, it's not opposition to all mining. We're concerned about this project, again, just for its sheer size, the fact that it's in a rainforest with huge requirements to treat water. They're needing to treat water at the rate of 119,000 gallons a minute, and then dumping it into the Yunik River. We're not sure that's sustainable for the expected 250 years that's going to be required. And again, you know, BC owns Auditor General has found that the compliance and monitoring in British Columbia is insufficient to guarantee the health of the rivers.
So this presentation tomorrow, what are you going to be discussing and presenting, and what are you hoping the outcome of that will be?
Well, first of all, we're going to show our film. It's called Irreparable Harm, and it's about the community of Angoon on Admiralty Island's experience with mining, the Greens Creek mine and Hawk Inlet, and how it's affected their ability to collect subsistence foods. And then we're going to talk about the Yunik River and the KSM and the idea of acid mine drainage and how difficult that is to stop once it gets started. And then some possible remedies, whether it's through the state of Alaska's agreement with British Columbia or through the Boundary Waters Treaty or through some other international action.
And we have been hearing a lot of stories about transboundary mining and attempts at negotiations, I guess. Are you seeing more cooperation between governments, or how are things progressing?
Well, there's more communication between the governments, which is always good, but there's a really real lack of enforceable standards. The United States or Alaska cannot dictate to British Columbia how these mines operate. British Columbia is attempting to revamp their environmental policies, but they really lack any standards that have any teeth to them, so that none of this is enforceable at this point. And so what we're really looking for is enforceable best practices and standards that will protect the downstream users.
And how will you achieve that, or how can that be achieved when, as you said, separate governments and cannot control what Canada does?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and it's a heavy lift. But it's clear under international law that transboundary watersheds are not the upstream country does not have unlimited jurisdiction over what goes on in that water. They cannot, under the Boundary Waters Treaty, they cannot pollute the water to the harm of the downstream users. There's supposed to be equitable benefit sharing in a transboundary water. So we just need to get British Columbia to actually implement, you know, what's well known under international law. And I also think that the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People has a large role to play here. Canada has ratified that, and British Columbia understands that to fully implement free, prior, and informed consent, that it does need to apply to the Alaska tribes.
Okay, and so for the presentation tomorrow, is that really more informational rather than seeking action?
Well, it's both. Okay. It's both. I mean, the only way we're going to get action is through political will and creating the pressure so that our governments, you know, on both sides of the border act to protect, you know, under their duty to protect their citizens.
Okay, and so a little bit again about this. Tomorrow, I believe it's starting with a potluck. Is that correct?
Yes, yep.
Okay, yeah, so at 5 to 7 p.m. at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center, begins with a potluck, then let's see, a presentation on the cultural significance of the river at 5:30, then the film Irreparable Harm shown at 6, followed by discussion and conversation.
Yep, and I hope they have a lot of good questions, and also any other mining or water quality related issues that people may have. I know there's you know, exploration out in Helm Bay, and there's some talk about an oil terminal in Hyder, and there's the mines on Prince of Wales, and the possibility of, you know, mill sites on Gravina Island. So any questions you might have, now's the time to ask them.
Okay, anything else you want to add?
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, great. And again, that's coming up tomorrow night at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center.